Monday's win showcased the depth that the Red Sox have, as it was the kids from Worcester, Josh Winkowski, Jaron Duran, Franchi Cordero, and John Schreiber, who made the difference in Boston's 5-2 win over the Detroit Tigers for their sixth win in their last eight games and now in third place in the AL East.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. I am your host, NESN's Lauren Campbell. I've been in the Boston media scene for over 7 years. Born and raised in the Boston area, lifelong Red Sox fan. And I am flying solo today. My co-host, Massachusetts Pirates team insider Jake Ignaszewski, is preparing for what's going to be a three-week travel time with the Pirates. He will be back this week. He'll be back tomorrow. So do not fret. He will be back tomorrow. Just a lot to prepare for as the Pirates season is coming to an end. But today, we're going to chat about Josh Winkowski, Franchi Cordero's offense, Jaron Duran showing flashes of what he did in Worcester that made him so valuable to the Woo Sox this season, Tanner Houck getting another save, just further solidifying him that he should be the closer going forward. We also have a pretty positive Chris Sale update. He did begin a rehab assignment in Florida on Monday. We have some Kike Hernandez and Christian Arroyo updates and kind of a surprising move that had a lot of Red Sox Twitter scratching their heads. But let's talk Winkowski, because he really struggled in his MLB debut against the Orioles back in May on May 28th. And since then, he's really just kind of pitched well, and he's really kind of come into his own. He pitched well against Oakland, and then on Monday, he pitched really well against Detroit, and overall, he has a 3.68 ERA. So on Monday, he held the Tigers to just 2 runs on 7 hits across 6 2/3 innings. He did make it into the 7th, just couldn't get out of the 7th, but Alex Cora did mention he wanted his starters to go forward, giving the Red Sox at least 6 innings. So Winkowski did his job, and he helped the Red Sox win. So all in all, really good outing for Winkowski. He did earn his second straight win as well. And Cora thinks Winkowski's last two outings really kind of paint the picture of his potential more than what his debut did. And some of that has come with Winkowski just being with the Red Sox for the last week or so. It's kind of helped him settle down. He did say after Monday's win that it definitely helped him a lot. The last outing, I kind of drove up here the day of, which wasn't too bad, but a little out of the ordinary for a start day. Just being able to throw bullpens here, lift here, and do all that stuff here, it's definitely helped a lot with comfort. So this really speaks to how a starter's routine can really just help them get into, stay in that routine and pitch well and find themselves just kind of where they belong with this team. And his outing on Monday earned him another start in this rotation. He will pitch this weekend in Cleveland, either on regular rest or on Sunday. Or if Garrett Whitlock is able to return from the injured list, he could pitch Saturday, I believe it was. But he's becoming very valuable, Winkowski is, as Nate Eovaldi remains out. He will be longer than those 15 days as he deals with a back issue. Winkowski could remain in this rotation until either Eovaldi returns or Chris Sale is activated. At this point, it could kind of be like a whatever comes first. But I do think Winkowski will make it difficult for Alex Cora to decide, does he go back to Worcester or do they maybe send Saramora, Ryan Brazier? There are better people to go to Worcester than Josh Winkowski right now. But Winkowski, he was born in Toledo, Ohio, so he will get to pitch in his home state. The Red Sox do fly to Cleveland to take on the Guardians this weekend. And Winkowski told us last night that his grandparents still live in Toledo, so they will be there, and he's really excited to pitch in front of them. Love a good little family reunion. And Jaron Duran, who has continued to just really show the flashes of what made him very valuable to Worcester, he led off the first inning with a 5-pitch walk. He showed some patience at the plate. He stole second and scored on a 1-out JD Martinez single to right center. He also had a ground rule double in the third, and then he used his speed, turned on the jetpacks, and sped home on a Rafael Devers double. Overall, Duran finished 2-for-3 on the night with a walk, 2 runs, and 2 stolen bases. And we can't say enough about Duran's speed. I mean, this is what has really highlighted him as a big prospect with the Red Sox is his speed. And yes, he is fast on TV, but if you ever get a chance to watch him, whether it's at Fenway or Polar Park in Worcester or wherever, really, just it's amazing how fast he is and how when you see it in person, you're just like mesmerized by it because he's so darn fast. And it's just he's making his way around the bases effortlessly. He's scoring from first on a double. He's scoring from second on a single. He's just so smart on the base path. And his speed obviously has a lot to do with that. But it's nice to see him kind of come into his own because last year he definitely struggled a little bit while with the Red Sox. Even this year during his time up and down between Worcester and Boston, he struggled. And some of that is just being up and down, not being able to get into a groove. But he's really shown strong at bats, big offense in Worcester. And it's nice to finally see that translate over to Boston. And another Worcester kid who helped the Red Sox with a win on Monday is Franchi Cordero. He continues to be such a pleasant surprise. He went 3-for-4. He had a blast of a single. I'm talking, this thing was rocked. And according to the Boston Globe's Alex Spear, it had an exit velocity of 117.9 miles per hour. And if you thought that was impressive, that only has been reached by Giancarlo Stanton of the Yankees, Shohei Ohtani of the Angels, and Vlad Guerrero Jr. of the Toronto Blue Jays. So very, very strong at bats by Franchi. Love seeing him be able to contribute. Again, he was somebody who also kind of had some issues with what between Worcester and Boston, just really couldn't translate the success he was having with the Blue Sox to the Red Sox. I don't know what's happened between now and then, but I do not care because I'm happy to see him really thriving and really helping this team win. And the Tigers are a team the Red Sox should win against, and they did. But it's nice to see that it's the Franchi Corderos, the Jaron Durants, the Josh Winkowskis, the John Schreiber, who we're going to chat about in just a second, help this team because it's showcasing the depth that the Red Sox do have. Yes, they have Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts, JD Martinez, who continue to play very strong baseball for the Red Sox. But when we're talking about a win and we're talking about the depth and the younger guys, while they have some big names on the IL, this is very good news for the Red Sox. And John Schreiber, is he the setup man now? I think so. He's done really well in that position. In the eighth inning, Matt Strom allowed a single. He did get two outs, but Cora was like, I've seen enough. Let's go to John Schreiber. That he did. Javi Baez did get him for a double, which put two on to bring rookie Riley Green, one of the top prospects in baseball, got to see him play with the Toledo Mudhens while they were here with playing the Woo Sox. It was only a matter of time before this guy got called up, and they brought Riley Green to the plate as the potential tying run. So definitely not the person you want to be facing, but definitely the person Tigers fans want at the plate. But Schreiber froze Green, 95-mile-an-hour fastball right on the edge, ended the inning, very exciting, and a huge out for Schreiber. That was really key for the Red Sox to win this game because Riley Green is, he's going to be a superstar. But as much as the Worcester kids really highlighted this game, Tanner Houck again closed out the game, earned another save, and for the first time in his career, he pitched back-to-back games. So he appeared in back-to-back games for the first time in his big league career, earned his fifth save of the season. And I really think he just continues to solidify himself as the closer while Schreiber is his setup guy. We've seen that it's working right now. So don't mess with it. But I understand that Cora maybe doesn't want to put titles on things right now. But we are in June. It's June 21st. We're almost in July. I think it's time to either name a closer or go get one, commit to getting one at the trade deadline. And maybe part of Cora's hesitancy to really commit to Houck as the closing pitcher is that Houck does indeed remain unvaccinated from COVID-19, so he's unable to travel to Toronto. The Red Sox do have another series in Toronto against the Blue Jays starting next week. And Houck did miss the series in April against the Blue Jays, which almost basically prompted his move to the bullpen after that. Cutter Crawford also is unvaccinated. And even though he is in AAA, but he was the only other person to be on the restricted list, which was good news for the Red Sox. However, the most recent call-ups, we are unsure of their vaccination status. If they're still here come next Monday, we'll know if they're put on the restricted list. Hopefully it's just Houck because again, this depth has been really good for the Red Sox. You have a lot of momentum going. You don't want to derail any of that for any reason, especially against the Blue Jays team. The Red Sox now are in third place in the AL East. They jumped over the Rays on Monday with the win. You want to continue this kind of momentum that you have swinging in your favor, and you need to go into Toronto. You need to win that series. You need to win games against teams in your division. It'd be a nice time to get their first series win against an AL East team, but it will be difficult if Tanner Houck is not there as your closer, but hopefully maybe Matt Strom can step up. Maybe you can put Schreiber in there. But again, it's all about defining these roles for your pitchers as the season goes on, because it's just kind of been a cluster in the bullpen to begin the season. It's just kind of throwing anyone out there and hoping it works. And now they finally have a formula that works. Let's just continue to keep that rolling. As Houck continues to emerge as the closer for the Red Sox, Chris Sale continues to trek through his rehab, and we will keep this episode in drive and talk about that, as well as some other injury updates in the second segment of the Locked On Red Sox podcast after I tell you about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now nearly impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless, sometimes seemingly intimidating questioning, and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse just so happens to carry? You have computers, you have phones, and they have access to Rock Auto at home and right in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every single customer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. One live NBA draft show is not enough for Locked On. The entire NBA channel is going live on NBA Draft Night. So if you have a favorite NBA team, maybe it's the Boston Celtics, maybe it's the NBA champion Golden State Warriors, make sure you subscribe now to their Locked On YouTube channel so you get notified when they go live on NBA Draft Night. So Chris Sale pitched in a game for the first time since last October on Monday night. He logged one inning. He topped out around 96 miles an hour. He pitched in Port Charlotte, Florida against the Rays minor leaguers. One of those minor leaguers includes Wander Franco, who also is rehabbing from injury. And Chris Sale looked okay. I mean, we can't expect an immaculate inning in his first outing in over 6 months. He did issue a leadoff walk, but he did rebound by striking out Wander Franco. The Rays minor leaguers then had a pop-up, a stolen base. Sale allowed a run-scoring single, but he finally got out of the first inning with a ground out. There was speculation that they wanted him to go two innings, but because his pitch count was a little bit high after the first inning, they decided just one was enough. But a source told MassLive's Chris Cotillo that one inning was always the plan. Honestly, it doesn't matter. It was just nice to see Chris Sale out there and topping out at 96 miles an hour. That is very much a good sign to finally see him taking bigger steps now in his rehab after his stress fracture in his rib cage. And then he had a setback related to his family's medical history that he wanted to get sorted out. He will make several rehab starts in order to build him up for at least five innings in the minor leagues. So whether that's Portland or whether that's the Woo Sox, we don't know yet. But as he continues to progress through his rehab in Florida, we will get some sort of timeline as he continues to build that arm strength. Speaking of his arm strength, Alex Cora has noted that Sale's arm looks a lot better than what it was. He's got more arm strength, which could be dangerous for opposing batters. So hopefully that rehab continues to go strong for him. And I'm excited to see what comes next for him. Staying on the injury front, Kike Hernandez and Christian Arroyo are nearing returns. Kike is dealing with a hip flexor issue, but he did go through a full workout on Monday prior to the game against the Tigers. He'll probably begin a quick rehab stint either Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on how he feels. So he'll be back sooner rather than later. And same with Christian Arroyo. He is on the COVID list. Sounds like he got COVID pretty bad. Alex Cora said that he sent him a recipe for this tea that the Coras have when COVID was running through their family. And he just sends it to any player who gets it. And he's just like, copy, paste, send. It's all good. But Christian Arroyo was back in the clubhouse on Monday. It was nice to see him around the team again. And he also will need a rehab stint. He did miss a week of action. And like I said, it sounded like COVID got him pretty good. So just to get him a little bit ramped up. But it sounds like the both of them could return this week. Ideally, it would be nice to have them back prior to their road trip, that when they go to Cleveland on Friday. But it's just nice to know that they are closer to a return rather than farther. And somebody else who is closer to a return is Garrett Whitlock. He will throw a bullpen Tuesday. He's been dealing with a hip issue, and his bullpen on Tuesday is expected to be longer than the 20-pitch one he threw over the weekend, and he could pitch Friday. So you're getting a healthy team. You're winning games. This is really good news for the Red Sox. It's unfortunate Nate Eovaldi isn't progressing the way they were hoping, but Josh Winkowski has been just fine as Eovaldi continues to rehab. In a minor move, I guess we could call it a minor move, the Red Sox made on Monday, which had Red Sox Twitter just kind of scratching their head, was the Red Sox decided to recall Jeter Downs from Worcester and designate James Norwood for assignment. So the Red Sox just traded for James Norwood over the weekend. And Jake and I talked about this on Monday's episode, that we were intrigued by what he could bring. His ERA was 8.31. He really struggled in his 20 relief appearances with the Phillies. So anything Jake and I said about James Norwood, just throw it out the window, because it doesn't sound like he's going to be with the Red Sox. It sounds like he's just going to hang out in Worcester and work on his stuff there. But Jeter Downs was also a very interesting person to call up, because his bat is nowhere near ready for MLB action, but his glove is. So it's a very interesting move here, because do you want to sacrifice the offense for defense? Do you just kind of want to see maybe what he can do in a short stint here? Alex Cora did say he wanted to get him in the lineup Tuesday or Wednesday. It's the first time in MLB for Jeter Downs, but I don't think he'll be with the Red Sox for long. I think once Kike Hernandez and Christian Arroyo, either or, come back, Jeter Downs will go right back to Worcester. So I wouldn't read too much into it. It was just very interesting to see that notification come across my phone, be like, Jeter Downs. No, like, again, his bat is not ready. His glove is. His defense is really, really fun to watch, but his offense, he's not even batting 200. So we'll see what he can do if he does get MLB action, or if they just have him there on the bench until Kike Hernandez and Christian Arroyo return. But we all love starting our Monday with a little news dump like that, right? We are going to do our mental health minute in the third segment of our Locked On Red Sox podcast after I tell you about Built Bar. You know me, you know how much I absolutely love Built Bar. And our friends at Built Bar are always coming out with amazing new flavors. Well, this time they've truly outdone themselves with their new Mud Pie flavor. I just had one before I jumped on here to talk Red Sox with you, and I know I've said it, that other flavors have given my cookies and cream a run for its money. I think Mud Pie has gone to the number one. It's my power rankings is Mud Pie, cookies and cream, all the other flavors, because I can't choose one. So Built Bar is introducing the new Mud Pie flavor in both Mud Pie Bar and Mud Pie Puff. Not sure what Mud Pie tastes like? Well, if you're a chocolate fan, you'd better sit down for this. The new Mud Pie Bar is rich whipped cream and chocolate mousse smothered in, you know it, 100% real chocolate, just like other Built Bars, but it's also topped with cookies and cream crumble. So you probably can see why I love this flavor so much. You have got to try this as soon as possible, and you need to hurry, because the Mud Pie Bar and the Mud Pie Puff are only available for a limited time. Visit Built.com to taste the new deliciousness for yourself. What's great about Built Bar is that all their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently. And it provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love this new Mud Pie Built Bar and the Built Puff. Whether you need a snack, a quick on the go, you just throw it in your purse, throw it in your car. Don't let it melt though, for after your workout, maybe a little late night treat. Or you just want to eat something, grab a Built Bar. It is the perfect protein bar, and they taste pretty darn good. Go to Built.com right now. Use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. So we're going to end the show how we always do on the Mental Health Minute. And I know I've shouted out Jake quite a bit in this segment, but I want to do it again, because this kid is grinding, and he's at Woo Sox games, feels like, all the time. He's really doing the most to bring you these farm reports, and he's doing such a great job building his confidence, getting these players after the game. Big shout out to him. But I also want to take this time to shout out my mom. She's been such an amazing person through my wedding planning. She has driven me nuts on a few things, but somebody has to be a bridezilla, right? And it's not going to be me. But I'm so excited, because on Tuesday, we are going up to the venue together. We're going to go over some minor details, but we're going to make it kind of a girl's day. We haven't really had a girl's day in a long time. We did go dress shopping recently for her, but that is stressful. So we're going to get lunch today. We're going to drive up to the venue. I get to show her the actual venue. She has not been there since my fiance and I decided on this place to get married. So I'm really excited to just spend some time with her, get some lunch, go to the beach and just kind of chill by the ocean and show her the venue and get these details hammered out, because there are 46 days, Craig Kimbrell days, until the Campbell Willand wedding. I'm so excited. And I'm, like I said, it's starting to get really real now. And being able to go show my mom the venue today, I'm just super excited. So let's end the show there. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Locked On Red Sox right here on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast is where you can find us. Follow us on Twitter at @LO_Red Sox, Jake at Jake Iggy, me, LaLaLaLauren, 3 Laws, Lauren with 4 Rs. Don't forget about all the other Locked On shows across the network. Locked On Tigers, Locked On A's, Locked On Yankees, Rays, Jays. Everyone does such an incredible job here at Locked On, bringing you baseball content Monday through Friday. And now that you have made Locked On Red Sox your first listen, go check out the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. Now, the first picks of the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft have been made. Search now for Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and get over 50 insiders, the Odyssey sports experts, the draft experts of Locked On NBA Big Board. The 5-episode Ultimate NBA Mock Draft is underway. Make Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen today. Be sure to check back with Locked On Red Sox on Wednesday as we recap what will hopefully be another win for the Red Sox. And hopefully on Tuesday, they can lock up the win for their 6th straight series win. But until then, I'm Lauren. We will see you tomorrow. And as always, let's go Red Sox.